Praise the Lord. Welcome to the Living Savior Church. Praise the Lord. I want to ask a question to start off with today. And I really think this is the major problem with the church. How many of you in here, beyond a shadow of a doubt, know that you know that this book is God's word and it means what it says? Okay, so that looks like all of us. Okay, now then, if we believe this book is God's word and it means what it says, then when he said in John 14, 13 and 14, somebody tell me what John 14, 13 and 14 says.
Whatsoever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it.
Okay, now let's put that on the board and let's see if Cheryl was right. She's right. You know she's right. Now, I know she's right too, but we want everybody to see that. Yeah, she didn't miss a word. She got it put it up there and let everybody see John 14, 13, and 14. Now then, if somebody out there read that to me out loud. Who wants to read that to me?
And whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do.
Now then, if we remit the sins, in fact, John 20:23, what does John 20:23 say? Okay, whoever sins we forgive, they're forgiven, right? Did God really say that? Did he really say we could forgive sin? He did, didn't he? Okay, so if I told you that there is a possibility that one of the biggest lakes in the Metroplex, the dam, is in danger of bursting, and if it goes down the Trinity, it will have a 50-foot wall of water, go all the way to the end, and downtown Dallas will be 20-foot deep in water, and 4,500 homes, and who knows how many thousand people will die. If I told you that's a reality, could you all agree with me in prayer that that don't happen?
Yes.
Okay. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we are all coming to you on your word. You made us all these promises. We remit the sins of everybody in Dallas. Now, Lord, we do know there's not a lack of sin in Dallas. We know there's many people that are walking in sin, that's not walking obedient to your word, and they don't even know you exist. But Lord, we know you exist. And we know your word. And you said in your word that if we remit anybody's sins, they're remitted. So Lord, we remit the sins of everybody in the Metroplex. Fort Worth, Dallas, Louisville, Denton, everywhere. And then Father, we take this John 14, 13 and 14, and we come to you and we ask you, Lord, to stop the rain. We've got enough rain. Stop the rain so it doesn't, we can continue to weaken Louisville Dam. And then we ask you, Lord, to send angels or whatever to beef that dam up, to make it whole where it holds good, where it does not break. And then we ask you to give men knowledge and wisdom of how to repair that dam so that it won't even think about breaking. Lord, we want you to fix it. Show us how to fix it. We will fix it, so that there will be no loss of property and no loss of life downstream from Louisville Lake to downtown Dallas. Now, Father, for all those that we didn't know was going to happen and that did lose lives, and there were several people lost their life last night, and there's many, many hundreds of homes that were destroyed, many people. And Lord, I know that there's all kinds of sin out there. I know that. But Lord, I thank you for being merciful to us and letting us, the church, be able to remit people's sins and then pray for them and change their lives even when they don't even know it. Lord, you can do what we've just asked and change the whole world. And if we didn't pray today, there's a possibility that by nightfall, Louisville Lake could break and it could be downstream and the whole downtown Dallas would be worse than Katrina it was in New Orleans. And Lord, we don't want that to happen. So we know that you've given us the power and authority. We're going to come to you believing with no doubt in our heart that that dam will not break. It will hold. That you'll send angels or whatever is necessary to hold it back so that there'll be no more destruction. And Lord, that you'll stop all this devastating rain that we've had plenty. We don't need any more. I know you know what you're doing, but Lord, you said we could ask for anything and you will do it. So Lord, we ask you to stop the rain. Yes. We've had plenty. Lord, now back a couple of years ago when we had no rain for months and it was dry, we asked you to give us 6 to 8 inches and the next week we got 8 inches of rain. Yes, Lord. We praise you and thank you for that too, Lord. Yes, Lord. But Lord, we just praise you and thank you that you're our God. Yes. our Lord, you made us the Word of God. You prayed us all these wonderful promises, and we believe them with no doubt in our heart. And Lord, I ask you to be merciful and call, look down upon this little group here today, Lord, that's meeting in your name, in your house, to praise you and worship you and thank you for being our God as we celebrate this wonderful season we call Christmas. And we're so grateful to you, Lord, for sending your Son 2,000 years ago to die on that cross to show us what to do. And then, Lord, the record that you wrote about how you did all that, and it's so precise and so perfect that when anybody looks at this and goes back and realizes that in life, there's not another human being ever born in history that has as many witnesses that were there that absolutely dealt with that person as the people did with Jesus. There's many, 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 many people that were born, like Caesar and all these men, and nobody was there. We don't have nobody that was there, but yet we believe he existed. So, Lord, with Jesus, there's men that wrote books that wrote it when it happened and told us that we ate with him, we slept with him, we handled him, we touched him, we talked with him. He is God. Yes. And so, Lord, we believe that. I feel sorry for the world out there that don't, but Lord, I believe it. You wrote it in this book, I believe it, and I want you to know I believe it. And so, Lord, I thank you for the privilege to pray. And when we pray for people, I thank you, Lord, that you're going to heal them all. We're going to remit people's sins, and we're going to pray the prayer of faith, and you're going to do what you want to do to people, and that's heal them all. And Lord, help us to get over this unbelief nonsense. Help us to believe that your word is true, that it really works every time, just like you said. So, Lord, we thank you for being our God and our Lord and giving us this wonderful book and then showing us that your promises are always yes and amen. And, Lord, we praise you. We are so grateful that we know you, we love you, we serve you. Lord, give us a great week this week. Let us tell others about you. And, Lord, we thank you for making or sending your angels to hold back the dam at Louisville Lake, that it will not break, that it will hold and there'll be no problem, and then it will be fixed where it will never break. And I thank you and praise you for giving man that knowledge. In Jesus' name, amen. Now then, how many of you believe with me? Okay, say, Lord, we believe. In the name of Jesus, we want to make sure he hears us. We believe, Lord, we believe. We know that he is God and that he's able to do anything we can believe him for. I think the only thing that's hard for God is getting his people to believe his promises. Ain't that true? Ain't that something? I know that I'm not, I know I've not stepped out where I need to be, but I've stepped out somewhere. And when I started believing these promises and started standing on them and started standing on them with bold faith, I began to see God answer my prayer in an awesome way. And some of you know that. Some of you listened to some of these CDs and DVDs. And, you know, it's amazing that when I first started out, the very first time I ever heard God's audible voice, I was reading Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. And my son was 2 years old and my daughter was 1 month old. And I was reading Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. I had never heard God's audible voice, never. Didn't expect to hear it, but I had spent a lot of time reading his word. And when I got to Deuteronomy chapter 6, where it said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." And then he began to tell us what we needed to do. "Lord, we thank you that you're going to stop that rain. It ain't going to rain no more. In Jesus' name, Lord, we praise you and thank you. Let it thunder all it wants to, but it ain't going to rain no more. In Jesus' name." So anyway, whenever I was reading that verse and I looked at it, I heard a voice that said, "Son, pay attention. I have a message for you in the next few verses." Well, that was so audible that I immediately turned around to see who walked in the room. Somebody spoke to me in an audible voice. And when I turned around, there was nobody there. And so I went back to the word and I looked and then I quoted that, "Son, pay attention. I have a message for you in the next few verses." I thought, "Lord, that was you. You spoke to me audibly right there. Wow. I wonder what the next few verses say. And so I begin to read those verses. And I begin to see, do you want your children to walk with me? Do you want your children to walk with God? Then he says there, you need to hang a sign on the front door post of your house saying, remind me today to teach my children about God. Put one on the back of your hand. Every time you look at it, have something written there. Say, remind me today to teach my children about God. Everywhere you look, I mean, the way it's really written, so many things. You walk in the house and start to get something out of the refrigerator, put you a sign there. Don't forget to pray with your children and teach them about me today. Now, why do you think God told us to do all that? Why do you think he, I know we don't ever forget anything, do we? Never, never forget nothing. Yeah, well, I lie a lot too, so. Okay, yeah, Cheryl said I don't. I try not to, that's for sure. Lord, we thank you for stopping that rain. Are we in agreement? Lord, thank you for stopping the rain. We don't need any more rain. Lord, we don't want Louisville Lake to break, and we thank you for stopping the rain in Jesus' name. Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you for stopping that rain. Are we in agreement?
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. No more rain. In Jesus' name. One of the young men that I was talking to a while ago when I first came in, he had heard me tell the story about the little 10-year-old boy. I was on the cruise with his parents to Hawaii whenever the ocean was so rough. And he said, Mother, he'd heard my teachings about what the Lord says when he give us authority and power over the elements. You know, whenever they went out there and they was all excited on the ocean and on the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus, they woke him up and said, Master, wake up. Do you not care that we perish in this flood? And he gets up and he looks at the storm and he says, where's your faith? In other words, Miss Jackie, why didn't you speak to that storm? That's what's wrong with us, isn't it? And so he spoke to the storm and the wind, the waves, everything was perfect. And then after he spoke to it, he turned to the boys and looked at them and says, oh, you of little faith. Why didn't you speak to that? And they marveled, saying, who is this that even the winds and the waves obey him? Well, who was he? He's the Lord. That's right. He's God. And what is he trying to tell you and me? Have faith. I've given you this same power. I've given you this power to speak to the weather, command it to stop, and it will. So, if you believe, it works. Do you think he will put you to the test? Oh, yeah, he'll put you to the test. Lord, we thank you that it's going to stop raining. It is stopped raining in Jesus' name. We don't want any more water in Louisville Lake. We wanted no water to run back in Louisville Lake, for sure. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you and praise you. I want everybody in here to say, Lord, I repent for all my sins. Every one of them, especially the sin of unbelief. I'm a child of God, and I believe your word. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, it's done. Now, Louisville Lake will not break in the name of Jesus. Amen, amen, and amen. I mean, just think, when we think about the prophet. Somebody said, well, we prayed. Somebody says, well, maybe you didn't pray enough. Whenever the Lord told the prophet to go out and pray for rain, what happened when he went out and prayed? He come back in and said, what do you see? He says, nothing. He said, well, go pray again. So he went out there and prayed again. How many times did he have to go pray?
Seven
times. That's right. After seven times, he said, what did you see? He said, I see a little cloud about the size of a man's hand. And he said, okay, that's it. We've got through. It's going to rain. And did it rain? Oh, yes, did it rain. Did it rain? Did it rain? But see, when you don't get your answer the first time, you don't give up, right? You continue to pray and to believe with no doubt in your heart. Lord, thank you. Who made us this wonderful promise we stood on a while ago? Who could tell me where that was at in John? What scripture did we stand on a while ago?
John
14, 13, and 14. Is that right?
Yes.
Amen. Is that promise to all of us?
Yes.
It's to all of us. We're going to have to learn to stand on these promises. You know, I can only imagine if we could get to the point where we could believe God's word, we could do what Jesus told us to do in John 10. Is it not John 10? No, it's Matthew 10. Matthew 10, 1. Turn to Matthew 10, 1, and let's see if I'm in the right place. Matthew 10, 1. Let's see what that says. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Just think. Technically speaking, he's given the church this power. When he called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now, and of course, he talks about the name of the 12 disciples. But let's go to verse 3 and 4. Let's see. Let's go to verse 5. Let's see what that says. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not unto the way of the Gentiles, and to any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Number 7. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. When we get to the point where we believe this book and the promises in this book, when we go up to pray for somebody to lay hands on them, Jesus told these boys to go heal the sick, did he not? So what do you have to do to heal the sick? If Jesus told you, just put your hands on them and say, be healed. Is that all you got to do? But you got to do it in faith.
Yes.
No doubting. So when we pray, we need to believe. Now, whoever we pray for must believe also. Now then, what all did he say in that scripture that we're supposed to be able to do? What did he say there?
Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, and cast out devils.
So we put out an advertisement. Bring your dead with you. Throw them over your shoulder. You got a baby that died in the hospital, throw them over your shoulder, bring them up to the living Savior. Sure, if we pray for the dead. I mean, if we had faith, we could do this. You know, I mean, I had somebody call me here a while back and said, I got a person that died. I want you to pray for them. I just told them. I said, I'm sorry. But at this point in my life, I do not have faith to pray for the dead. I've only seen one person raised from the dead, only one. The second one I prayed for, I didn't win it. I lost them. It was a good friend of mine. So I've only seen one person raised from the dead. In fact, I was at a Baptist church after that happened, about maybe 6 months. I was still going to the, in fact, I was at the Baptist church in Justin. And I went to church there that Sunday morning because I didn't have services out here, so I was by myself. So I went to that church, and he said, he was preaching that morning, he says, when's the last time you ever heard of anybody that raised somebody from the dead? And I almost held up my hand. And then I thought, well, I guess I better see what he's going to say. He says, because, you know, God don't do that kind of stuff anymore. And I thought, uh-oh, it's a good thing I didn't hold up my hand, because I have seen it happen one time. Now, if it's happened one time, will he do it again?
Yes.
He will. So who is the problem? Is it God or me?
God.
It's me. That's right. You got it right. Exactly right. The problem is not with God. The problem is with me and you. When we get to the point where we really believe this book, I mean, Cheryl and I was invited. There was a lady called us one day, and she said, my name is Sister Mary, and I'm going to be in a hotel in Dallas and Arlington or wherever it was, and said, I've been listening to some of your stuff, and said, you are a great man of faith, and I want to talk to you. Will you come down here and speak with me? And so we said, okay. So Cheryl and I got in a car and drove down there, and when we got there, we met this woman, two women, the one that was 90-something, do you remember how old she was? 94, 95 years of age. She was a great woman of God. had been a great woman of God. Here she is in a wheelchair at 95, 94, 95. She can't walk. She's in a wheelchair. But she said, you know, I just wanted to meet with you and talk with you and explain some things to you. She said, because I've had the privilege to walk with God. She says, I used to walk with Smith Wigglesworth. And I says, wow. I said, that he was quite a man. She said, when I was a little girl, Smith Wigglesworth called me in before he knew he was fixing to go home to be with the Lord. He called me in and said, I'm going to pass this anointing on to you to raise the dead. Wow. He said, now then, she said, but I don't want it. I don't want it. He said, you're not the one that makes that decision. God makes that decision, and he's called you to have this special anointing. Now, she said, well, what do I do? He says, you don't ever do anything unless God tells you what to do. When he tells you what to do, he said, it'll work. So she said, I said, so how many people did you, I said, you received that anointing? She said, I did. I said, well, how many people have you seen raised from the dead? How many was it, you?
95.
I said, you have seen 95 people raised from the dead. She said, yes, I have. I said, how do you know which one to pray for? She said, that's the secret. God will always tell you. Always tell you. She said, don't ever try to raise anybody from the dead unless God tells you. Well, the one man that I prayed for that was been dead a half hour, I didn't hear God's audible voice. I was that sound asleep in the middle of the night at 2 o'clock in the morning when they called me and told me this man had just had a massive heart attack and he's now dead. And I said, right out of my mouth, I said, well, let's pray. And his son-in-law was a paramedic, and he said, Thurman, it's too late to pray. We haven't had a heartbeat or a pulse in 30 minutes. I said, it ain't never too late to pray. I don't know why I did what I did, but I said, it's never too late to pray. So I said, I'm going to pray. And I began to rebuke the spirit of death, and I commanded the spirit of life back in him in the name of Jesus. And all of a sudden, he screamed on the phone. He said, my God, I got a heartbeat. He's breathing. And I said, well, what are you going to do? He said, we're going to take him to the hospital in Irving. I said, okay. So I get up and get dressed, and I drive down here to Irving. An hour and a half or so before I get there, and I finally get there, and I walk in, and I see a doctor walking down the hall. It's like 4 o'clock and 5 o'clock in the morning, really early. I walk in there, and I said, I'm looking for a man named Jackson. Do you know where he's at? He said, yeah, he's down in room so-and-so on the left. I said, how's he doing? He said, well, he'd have been better off if he'd have stayed dead. I said, what do you mean he'd have been better off if he'd have stayed dead? He said, well, the paramedic said he had no heartbeat or no pulse for 30 minutes, so if he recovers, he'll be like a vegetable because he had no oxygen to his brain for too long. Why is it that we all think like the world? Why can't we think like God? So I looked at this doctor and I said, doctor, I said, do you see those hands? He said, yes. I said, Jesus said, now this is where you get in trouble. Jesus said, I can lay those hands on the sick and they will what? Recover. He didn't say they'd be a vegetable, did he? So I said, Jesus said I can lay those hands on him and he'll get well. And I said, I just need to go find him and lay hands on him. And he just, you know what that means, right? Let's lock him up in the institution. He's dangerous. So anyway, I went down there in the room and he was sleeping. So I just walked upside the bed and I looked down in his face and he was totally asleep. I could see he was on the monitors and all the stuff was said he was breathing. His heart was beating and everything. So I just reached over in the bed and I laid that hand right there, both those hands, and said, according to Mark 16:18, be healed in Jesus' name. Now, is that what he told me to do?
Yes.
That's all I had to do. Now then, I have to believe that. That's where the secret comes in. So I sat there for a few minutes and he never moved or nothing. So I thought, well, he's going to be okay. So I went to work. Just a few days later, he walks back in my office. He had fully recovered, and that man is still alive today. That man was out here just a few months ago and come in here to see me. And I wasn't here, I was gone, but a few weeks later, I was over to the tax office getting some license plates from my vehicle, and I walked in, and there he was standing in the line. And so I talked to him and we had a good old time. Now, did we talk about him rising from the dead? No. Why? He's Church of Christ. I tried to tell him that God raised him from the dead after he got healed. And he said, Thurman, it was just a coincidence. It wasn't your prayer that did it. I mean, so see, whose faith did God use to heal that man? Mine. Guarantee he used mine. That man has no faith. He has no faith. Now then, what's wrong with the church today? That's what's wrong with the church today. Isn't that something? This book is completely full of promises, right? Did God tell us we could do all these things? I mean, am I saying anything God said, anything God didn't say when I'm saying lay hands on the sick and they'll recover? If I had an air conditioner that needed to be fixed, when this man was a few years younger, when he was in the business, I would have no problem calling him and saying, Franz, I got an air conditioner that needs to be fixed. Will you come fix it? And I know I wouldn't have to go. I knew when he called me and tell me it's fixed, it's fixed. I know that. I don't have to check it. I have total trust that he's one of the best air conditioning men I know. He don't work on them much anymore, but used to, that's what he did for a living. So he knew air conditioners. So if I needed an air conditioner fixed, who would I call? Franz, that's right. Now then, if I needed an air conditioner fixed, guess who I wouldn't call? I wouldn't call Cheryl, that's for sure. She knows how to set underwater, it'd be cool when he's working. But she don't, in fact, I'll say when I started to build this church out here, I was out here grading off and after I graded off, I was putting the stakes out and everything. And I thought, now I need somebody to hold this stick for me so I can shoot the grade on this. And I looked up and my wife had just bought her some new shoes,
new skirt.
She just brought a new skirt and she was walking out from the, and what, honey? Yeah, and she come walking out there with that beautiful silk skirt on, and she said, hey, honey, and I walked, I said, you're just in time. Come hold this stick for me. I handed her the stick, and she said, it's hot out here. I'm beginning to sweat. I said, well, it won't kill you. It's going to be okay. She says, I'd come out here to show you my skirt. I said, oh, yeah, it's beautiful. You look beautiful now. I said, hold this stick. So finally, I had to go get one of the guys. I went and I said, come out here. One of you guys going to have to hold this stick for me. My wife, she come out here to show me a new skirt, and I put her to work. And so she don't come out to show me her skirts no more. She waits till I come in the house. But that's the way we are. You know, we are men and women of God that do not read the Word of God enough to believe that these promises mean what they really say for us. Isn't that something? If we believe, if we've got a book that says that we can call on the name of the Lord, and if we pray and ask Him in faith, He will heal us. Just think, look at that again. Let's look at those scriptures we were just at one more time. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Is the kingdom of heaven at hand today? Yes, it is. Maybe closer than it's ever been. If you really believe the King of the universe is the King of the universe, how would you feel if all of a sudden He were to appear in physical form standing right there? I'm sure that you would probably hit the floor as quick as I would. I would be on my knees before this mighty God, but let me tell you what, He really is standing there right now. We forget that, don't we? We act like, because we can't see Him, we act like that He's not there. But He is there, and He knows everything we're doing. And He's given us His Word, and He wants us to pray and pray in faith, believing that it's done. I remember one time that we were unloading a trailer, and it was an enclosed trailer, and it was in the summertime, and it was some kind of hot. And me and Eldon was going in and out of this closed-in trailer. And boy, I mean to tell you, when you start getting stuff up close to the front, and it's a 20-foot long trailer, by the time you go in and pick up an armload of stuff and come out, you know, it's scorching hot. And so I get really tired, and I tell Eldon, I say, Eldon, I said, I got to have a break. I said, I got to stop and take a drink of water. Let's sit down and rest a minute. Okay, so we go out there and we sit down. We're drinking a bottle of water, and there's not a breeze blowing nowhere. It just hot, but we're under an oak tree. Eldon sets his bottle of water down and he starts, Lord, I praise you for the cool breeze. Lord, thank you. I praise you for cooling Thurman off. Lord, I thank you for increasing his anointing. Lord, I praise you and thank you. And all of a sudden, that entire oak tree we were under began to shake. And leaves began to fall everywhere, all around us. And they're falling like crazy. And a cool breeze just flows right over me. Wow. I felt so refreshed. I said, wow. And so Eldon just tells her, Lord, I praise you for that cool breeze. Lord, thank you. And he must have went on for 5 minutes. And that breeze just blew through there. I'm looking around. There ain't another leaf moving on another tree. Nowhere. Only the one me and him's under. And then we quit praying and it stopped. And I said, man, I feel like a brand new man. He said, well, I asked the Lord to give you a brand new anointing, you know, so that you could get up and go to work. He said, let's go to work. So we jumped up and we went to work. And I thought, Lord, you said over and over and over and over in your word, we could ask for what?
Anything.
What is it about anything we don't understand? You understand where I'm coming from? I mean, if God said in his word, you're my children and I love you, ask me for anything. If daddy come to you and said, honey, I love you with all my heart, ask me for anything, I'll do it for you. You might ask for something, right?
Oh, yeah.
You'd ask for something, right? I mean, isn't it amazing that here we got this daddy, Jesus, our brother. We got all this power and all this authority all around us. And he says that we can ask for anything. And he said it not just once and twice, did he? Over and over and over, he said, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. He said, now go and sin no more. How many of you have thought about this busy season that we just went through? Lord, I am dead to sin. Did anybody even think about that in the last week? Okay, you, not enough of you. I want every one of you to say, now, Lord, I am dead to sin.
I am
alive to Jesus.
I'm
dead to sin. There's going to be no sin in my life this next week. I'm going to walk holy. I'm going to walk pure. Because you said in your word, your true children do not sin.
I am truly your child.
So I'm not going to sin. I know this will need some help from you. But I'm going to walk in obedience to your word. I'm going to have no sin in my life. So when I touch people in your name, things will happen. Whatever the need, you'll answer my prayer. Because I'm your child. And I'm walking in obedience to your word. In Jesus' name. Do we serve an awesome God?
Yes, amazing.
If we would only get to where we could believe. Only believe. That's what Jesus said, right? Only believe. Just think about this. Now, let's stop and meditate on what he just said right here in this scripture. As you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Now, this is a big one. Raise the dead. Cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. You know, I don't know what I was thinking about years ago in the Baptist church when I would read a scripture like this. I'd think, you know, this has got to have been given just to the disciples. You know, this couldn't be for the church. I mean, if it was truly for the church, then why don't we heal the sick? One day, my nephew was a friend of his from Goldthwaite, an older guy. At the time, he was probably 50. But anyway, he had fell and broke his leg. And after he fell and broke his leg, they brought him to Fort Worth, and they put cast on his leg, and it broke it. He had to have surgery and all kinds of stuff. He really messed it up big time. So my nephew, which is also a little Baptist preacher, called me one day and said, Thurman, I'm going to come to Fort Worth to see so-and-so. He said, would you meet me down there and we'll pray for him? I said, okay, sure, be happy to. So we went down there. I went down there and I got there and met my nephew there, and we go in and sit there and we're talking to brother. And as we talk, I said, what did you do? He said, oh, Thurman, I really messed it up good this time. You know, he told me how he was climbing a tree and he fell and got his leg hung, snapped it, and broke. He really messed it up. I said, well, how long are you going to have to be in that cast? They said, well, 6 weeks. I'm going to have to stay right here in the hospital for 6 weeks. I said, 6 weeks? I said, man, that's a long time. I said, how can you believe you're going to have to stay here 6 weeks? He said, well, that's what the doctor said. The doctor said I'd have to be here 6 weeks. I said, you know, if I had a different doctor that had a different, you know, amount of time, could you believe it? He said, well, what makes you think one doctor's smarter than another one? I said, I have the best doctor. I said, he made me and you a promise. I said, in Matthew 18:19, I said, now, brother, I bet you even know this scripture. Matthew 18:19, he said, that's one of my favorite verses. Of course I know that verse. I said, well, let's turn over there and read it, because I don't think you believe it. Matthew 18:19. I said, let's turn over to Matthew 18:19. Now, let's look and see what that says. Again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. I said, you don't believe that. He said, of course I believe that. I said, well, if you did, you don't have to stay in here 6 weeks. I said, me and you could agree on 6 weeks. You could stay here 6 weeks. That me and you and that doctor could be in agreement and you could stay here 6 weeks. But I said, Jesus said, if two of us agree. I said, you're one and I'm one. That's two, right? I said, so he said, if two of us agree, it might happen?
No, it
will. No. You see where I'm coming from, Franz?
Yes, sir.
We just don't believe this book, do we?
That's right.
We don't believe. We've been trained wrong. So anyway, I told him, I said, you know, according to my doctor, now who is my doctor?
Jesus.
He's Jesus. I said, Jesus said, if two of us agree about anything. I said, so why don't we just agree, you know, that you get out of here today? Let's just go home today. He said, now wait a minute, Thurman. He said, I think you must misinterpret that. I said, no. I said, I quoted, I know what it says. You know it's your favorite verse. But I said, take your Bible. And Ricky handed him his Bible, and he read that again. He says, you know, he said, that does say that if two of us on earth agree about anything. And he said, you notice that's in red, too. Yeah. See, that carries a little more weight, doesn't it? When Jesus is there. So I said, okay. So I said, what can you agree with me for then? And while he's thinking, I said, you know, remember, he's the creator God. Is that who he is?
Yes.
I said, he's not a doctor, not an earthly, worldly doctor. He's the king of the universe. I said, so what can you believe him for? He looked at that and he says, wow, I sure don't want to stay here 6 weeks. But he said, Thurman, since that says what it says, I believe I can believe him for 2 weeks. I mean, you see where we are? He said, I know God can do anything. I know. So instead of going 6 weeks, I believe if you and me agree that I can be out of here in 2 weeks. I said, you don't believe we could be out of here today? Well, no, Thurman, nobody could do it in a day. You see what I mean? I mean, how big is your Jesus? He's obviously not very big for most of us, right? I mean, am I trying to add, Miss Jackie, am I adding anything to these promises?
No,
or reading them just like they're written?
Exactly.
So I told him, I said, okay, you believe that if we pray and agree according to Matthew 18:19, you're going to go home within 2 weeks. He said, yes. I said, okay. Will God meet you right where your faith is? Yeah, he sure does. If you don't believe I can do this, well, then I won't do it. I'm not going to overstep, you know, your authority. I'm just going to do whatever you can believe for. So we agreed in prayer that he'd be able to get out of there and go home in 2 weeks instead of six. And he was happy. When I left, he was praising the Lord. Thurman, praise God. I'm going to call you as soon as I get out of here. I know I'm going to get out of here in 2 weeks. Now, his confession is, I know I'm going to get out of here in 2 weeks. Could it have been one day? Yeah, it could have been. So in 2 weeks, he called me and told me, he said, wow, Thurman, I'm going home today. The doctor's been checking, x-raying my leg, and they just can't believe it's completely healed up in this period of time. So he said, I'm walking perfect. 2 weeks, I'm going home, just like the Lord says. No, the Lord didn't say that, did he? We said that. We're the ones that agreed we could go home in 2 weeks. Does God, just think, the only thing that limits God is standing right here. My unbelief and your unbelief. That's just like little, what was that young boy that broke his ankle that time, honey? Trevor. Little Trevor, 18-year-old. He had a terrible unforgiveness toward his dad. And he had broke his leg playing football, his right leg. And so when he went down, a big old bruiser fell right across there and just crushed that leg. I mean, and busted the ankle, everything. Really messed him up good. So anyway, when he came here, the doctor said he'd have to have surgery. It'd be months before and said he'd never, never play football again. Wow. Never. And said, you may not ever walk again. Said, you're never going to run. You might be able to walk, and you may not walk. But he said, if you do, you have to walk slow. So they wanted to do surgery on his leg. And he told his daddy, no. He said, Dad, I want you to take me down to the Living Savior Church. They're from Arkansas, and said, I want Thurman to pray for me. So they came, and when he told me what the problem was with his right leg, I said, well, do you have an unforgiveness toward a man? No, no, no. I have no unforgiveness or bitterness toward nobody. I said, well, you got a problem with your right leg, and so you must have an unforgiveness or a bitterness against a man. I said, because the curse don't come upon you undeserved. It can't happen just out of the wild blue. There's got to be a reason for this. He said, but I don't have any sin. I've confessed all my sin. I said, okay. Now, I said, do you have faith? He said, I have faith. He said, I've been listening to your CDs and DVDs for a long time. He said, after my dad got healed of a stroke, he said, I know God heals. I said, okay. So standing right here with these crutches, or right there, I believe he was, I prayed for him. I asked the Lord to heal his leg and everything, fix it and make it perfect in Jesus' name. And then I said, now then, if you got faith, son, give your mother those crutches and walk off. And he said, I can do it. He handed the crutches to his mother, and he started down the aisle with a leg that just 3 days before had been broken completely in two, and an ankle's tore all up. As he goes around the corner back there, he's kind of limping a little, and I said, Trevor, I said, what does it feel like? He said, Mr. Scrivener, it hurts like crazy, but I'm going to walk on it. Well, you talk about a young boy that's got some faith. He's walking on that leg. Well, after that, Cheryl talked to his mother. And I didn't know at that time that his daddy was his stepdad. It wasn't his real dad. But anyway, by Wednesday of that week, he calls and asks for me, and Cheryl happened to answer the phone. When she answered the phone, he said, this is Trevor, and I need to talk to Pastor. Cheryl said, Trevor, I talked to you. Said, first of all, how's your leg? He said, well, it's killing me. I can't stand the pain. It's killing me. She said, Trevor, I talked to your mother after y'all left on Sunday and said that your mother says you have a terrible unforgiveness against your real dad. He said, I hate my dad. Now, does that sound like he's walking in love?
Nope.
Not at all. So she said, Trevor, that's your problem because you have that unforgiveness towards your dad. That's why your leg got broke in the first place, and that's why it won't heal. So he said, I will forgive my dad. I will go talk to him. I'll tell him I love him and everything. And he did. And, of course, Cheryl said, now I'm going to pray for you again, and then you go do that. So she prayed for Trevor, and he went and told his dad, his real dad, that he forgive him, that he'd love him. The next Sunday, they came back to church. This happened on Wednesday. And when they got here, Friday, he had went into the doctor's office, and the doctor checked it, and that leg, which was broke all to pieces, had not even a splint or nothing put on it. That leg, including the toes and everything, was 100% perfect. He could run and play football or anything from Friday, from Wednesday when Cheryl prayed till Friday, 2 days. His leg was completely healed, and when that boy came back, and that boy, he has now realized, but he's just like all the rest of us. You know, when God does a miracle like that, if you're not careful, if you don't stay in the Word, what happens? What happens? You forget. Is that right? Yeah. Did the children of Israel forget? Did God bring them out through across the Red Sea and everything and put them in a land and give them everything? And it wasn't long they forgot who did it. Why are we like that? We need to stay in the Word of God. But that boy, after seeing that, when he come back, that boy was running up and down these aisles. I'm standing there in awe. Yeah, and that's right. And he got a football scholarship to go play football at some university. He was a senior that year. And he got a scholarship and everything. And I think, just think, all of this happened because the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords came to this earth. He left his home in heaven and came down here as a baby over this little season that we're talking about to tell us that, hey, I'm God. I'm God, I'm your Lord. Anybody that will believe in me, for anybody that will believe in me, anybody, I will give you eternal life. Does he turn down anybody?
No.
No, nobody. I don't care who you are. He does not turn down anybody. You come and he gives you life and gives it to you abundantly. And then all he wants you to do is spend time with him, worshiping him and praising him and thanking him. And if you'll do a little of that, giving him time, loving him, praising him and worshiping him, I mean, the miracles, the answers to prayer, you will begin to see. If you'll just put him first, the answers to prayer, you got to believe. You got to believe with no doubt in your heart. And whenever it looks like everything's against you and the world's going wrong, going upside down, do you give up?
No.
You keep standing on his promises. Just like the prophet did when he says, go out and pray and see what you see out there. He went out there and prayed for rain and he come back and said, I don't see nothing. Praise the Lord. Just like us. We prayed a while ago and what happened? When we prayed, what happened?
It rained harder and longer.
And we kept standing on the word. And then what happened? It stopped, didn't it? And I didn't hear a single one of us. I just waiting to see if anybody's going to say, Lord, the rain stopped. Lord, are we grateful that the rain stopped?
Yes.
Are we grateful that Louisville Lake is going to hold?
Yes.
There's not going to be any problem. Louisville Lake is not going to break because this little group of people in this room prayed, and I want the Lord to see your hand one more time. How many of you believe is going to answer your prayer that you prayed a while ago for the amen. We believe that, don't we?
Yes.
Lord, forgive us for our unbelief. Help our unbelief. Lord, you told us what to do. You told us to heal the sick. You told us to cast out devils. You told us to raise the dead. You told us to do everything you said in your word. And Lord, help us to do it in faith so we will begin to see you do the great and mighty thing, even to the raising from the dead. Lord, give us that kind of faith. I mean, I know that I'll never forget that night that I prayed for that man and he came back to life. And it wasn't but a few weeks later, I was tested again with another good friend of mine that died. And he called me and told me he had terrible problems. And so we drove down to Comanche Monday morning to visit with him. And he called me on Friday and told me he had been diagnosed with a very rapid growing cancer. I told him, I said, no problem. I know what caused it. I'll come down Monday morning and I'll take a day off from work. And we'll pray over you, repent for your sins and all that stuff, and God will heal you. We got to his house that morning, about a 2.5-hour drive. We got down there and there's 3 or 4 cars in the front yard. I went in and his wife met me at the door and she said, Thurman, he passed away just a little while ago. I walked in there and I looked at him sitting there laying on that bed. Everything in me I wanted to, but there's an undertaker sitting right there too. I wanted to say, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke the spirit of death. But I wasn't there. Couldn't do it. I sat there for 30 minutes. Couldn't say a word. I finally got up and walked outside and I said, Lord, I failed. I didn't speak. I don't know why I couldn't. But you know what I should have done? I should have raised him from the dead. But I didn't have the faith. Isn't that a shame? All these promises in that book, and they all belong to who?
Us.
Every one of them belong to us. Technically speaking, you know, if Jesus in John 8 and John 11, if we believe the Word of God is true. Now, I realize we don't. We try to explain it away. But in John 8 and 11, it says in both those chapters a couple of times that if you will do everything I say, do everything I say. Now, Jesus is talking. He said, I tell you the truth, you will never die. Never. Isn't that something? That's a pretty strong statement, isn't it? So how long could we live? As long as we want to live. Until you get, did the Lord say He would satisfy us with a long life? So what's a long life? 50 years, 100 years, 500 years? What is a long life? But I'll tell you what we do. And I hate to say this. But when we get to past 50, we start signing our death warrant. I remember one day I had the fire inspector come down to inspect the building for us down at DFW. So I was at least 10 years, 8 or 10 years older than him, somewhere along there. And he was like 60. He getting ready to retire. I was, pretty close to that. So anyway, I said, how are you doing? He said, well, for an old man, I'm doing fair. He said, I don't know if I'm going to make it to retirement or not. I'm getting so old and I can't hardly get around anymore. I said, how old are you? I think he said he was 56 or something like that. And I said, gee, I'm sure glad I'm not old like you. I don't see myself old like him. You know, it's amazing. What we do, we start speaking our death into ourselves. We start speaking sickness. You know, every one of you that are probably like I used to be, every one of you that when something happens to you, you've watched too much television. So when you go to the cabinet, the medicine cabinet, you say, okay, the TV said this is good for this. I got a little problem here. It's probably indigestion, or I'm having a problem with my lungs or my heart or whatever, so I probably need some of this. I told a man the other day, he said, I've been coming to your ministry for several months now. He said, I've got off all, 25 medications he was taking a day. He's now off of all of them, and he said it gave me a $600 a month increase in pay. Wow. That's what it was costing me for my part of the medicine, $600 a month. And he said, now then, since I'm coming out here, he said, I've quit taking the medication. I'm believing God and calling upon Him for my healing. And he said, I never felt better and have taken no medication whatsoever. $600 a month. Isn't that something? If we believe these promises, what can we do if we believe these promises?
Anything.
Do these promises, are they only good for healing? What are they for?
Anything.
Whatever you need, right? In other words, if you're going to the grocery store to buy the right groceries, you need to ask the Lord for guidance and direction, right?
That's right.
And He'll show you, right?
That's right.
Sure, He will. I mean,
sometimes you'll have somebody to pay for those groceries for you and bless you.
It does, sure.
It has happened.
Yeah. I mean, when you have the right kind of faith, God can do anything you can believe Him for. But when we pray for somebody, we don't believe. When we pray for healing, we don't believe. I can guarantee you, when that Mother Mary, when she told me she had raised 95 people from the dead, I said, would you just share the most exciting one of those with me, just one? I don't want to hear all 100 of them. She said, well, the most exciting one happened right here in Dallas. And she told me what year and everything. And she said, I was speaking at this meeting. And she told me what church and everything. And she says, there was a woman that had two children, and she came to the meeting every night. Her husband did not believe in Jesus, and he did not want her to come. But she said, honey, I'm going to go to the meeting and take the children. So she went. He said she was there one night. And all of a sudden, they were singing and praising the Lord, and this woman's up here with her two children close to the front with her hands raised, praising the Lord, and the door opened on the side of the church, and a man walks in, pulls out a gun, and kills his wife and two children right there in front of the church. Kills all three of them. And said, the Lord spoke to me and says, raise that woman and those two children from the dead, and then that man will get saved. God wasn't the least bit excited. You know, he's never excited, is he? So she said, I walked over there and laid my hand on that dead woman, blood everywhere, and those two children, and commanded the spirit of life back in them. And she said, all three of them was instantly healed, and the wounds where the bullets went in was instantly healed, and there was not a drop of blood in the place. So somebody comes along and hears that story and they say, no blood, I don't believe that. No bullet holes, I don't believe that. But there was 1,000 people saw it. 1,000 people in that church saw that man kill that woman and those two children. And some of the ones that were close, I mean, they were close and they saw it. They saw the blood and everything. And then when Mary said, the Lord just spoke to me. He says, go over there and lay your hands on that woman and those two children. I'll raise them from the dead. When God tells you something like that, you know you're fixing to see an awesome miracle. So she goes over there and puts her hands on them children and that woman, and they all get healed, totally, completely healed. Wow. That's almost as awesome as whenever Lef Hetland told me the other day when he was preaching about Jesus in Iraq, whenever that man's arm and those legs begin to just grow back on. I've never seen a miracle like that. But can God do those? Oh, of course he can. And when Hetland went to the Lord and says, Lord, that was so awesome to see you put those arms and legs. How do you do that? He said, son, I am the creator God. And nothing is hard for me. So all he's got to do is just think of the arm and leg back on, and it comes back on. Isn't that true? And he put that same power in you and me. We just need to learn how to make it work. Do we not? Thank you, Lord, that you're going to give us great faith. This next year, Lord, we're going to be men and women of God, men and women of faith. We're going to ask you to strengthen our faith and use us mightily in this coming year. We want to see people get saved, healed, and delivered. We want to be able to pray long distance and see you do great and awesome things. We want to be able to stop people that are doing terrible, devious things. Lord, we want you to show us by the Spirit when some group of terrible terrorists or whatever is going to do something, and before they can get it done, that you will reveal it to us, and we can get with one or two prayer warriors, we can pray the prayer of faith and stop the devastation and save lives. And Lord, if we don't get there before then give us the faith to call those people back from the dead. Can God do these things? Has he really given us the kingdom? Then why don't we really use that kingdom this year to do great things for him? He's the one made us all these promises, right? Yes. If God says you can ask for anything, you know, this year you should start out with whatever you do. If you're a man or a woman, if you're a man and you're working for somebody, you should do nothing without prayer, right? Yes. Nothing without prayer. And Mike learned that this last year himself as a businessman, didn't you, Mike? Yeah, the Lord has done some awesome things with him this year. But if you pray and believe, God will do it. So don't start your day without prayer. Every morning when you get up, pray. Ask the Lord to guide you, direct you, so that you'll be, and if you're a lady at the household deeds, doing what, or if you work outside the home, ask the Lord to give you wisdom and knowledge and understanding to be an awesome man or woman of God for him. That everybody around will know that you're so good at what you do. They want to know why. How are you so good and so fast and so punctual? I said, because I'm a child of God. Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. I mean, you know, don't be a Christian and be a slothful Christian. What I'm trying to say, do something that glorifies the Master, your boss, your God. That pleases him. Don't you think it does? Yeah, do things for God. Wow. Father, I thank you that you're going to stop the rain and the Louisville Lake is not going to flood. I thank you, Lord, for blessing us this day and everything. And I thank you for just being the mighty God you are. And I thank you that you're going to let all the creeks run down and where they're going to run over the road and people might get washed out with floods. I rebuke those things in the name of Jesus. And I ask you, Lord, to stop the rain and let the rain stop and there be no more flooding. And I thank you and praise you for the Louisville Lake not breaking and nothing happening there and there be no devastation. And Lord, for all the men and women that did lose homes and property and everything last night, I ask you to bring them to a church. Bring them into a place where they can learn about you and your word. Because, Lord, if they knew what we knew, they could have come against this and they could have possibly been set free from all this. But they didn't know, obviously. So, Lord, help us that we will be able to be a light. We'll be able to tell them. We'll be able to act on your word. We'll be able to stand in prayer with those people, seeing your glory. So people will see your glory. And Lord, some people just can't get it unless they see it. They need to see your glory. So help us to walk in that place with you, Lord, to be a living example of you to all these people so that everybody can be blessed. And Father, I give you all the praise and glory and power to you and your word. Thank you, Lord. I'm so grateful for what you're going to do this year. The mighty things that's going to happen. The people that's going to be blessed. Lord, thank you that we come through the four blood moons. Thank you, Lord, that we come through Smita. Thank you, Lord, now we're in Jubilee. And Lord, who knows how you're going to bless us through Jubilee. But this is a Jubilee year, which only occurs every 50 years. And Lord, this is Jubilee, and we're going to see you do great and mighty things. And you said in your word that you would pour out blessings on Jubilee that would be that open the windows of heaven for us and pour out blessings that we will not be able to contain this year. So, Lord, we thank you for blessing us with all of this, and may we use everything you give us, whether it be knowledge, wisdom, money, whatever it is you give us, automobiles, houses, may we use those for your glory and to do great things for you, and that people will know that we're sons and daughters of God because we walk holy and obedient to your word. And Lord, thank you. Thank you for being our God. And may you use us mightily, 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 Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can everybody agree with this? Say, Lord, I agree. I'm a child of God. I'm going to be used of you mightily. For your kingdom. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise the Lord.